T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
I will roll with you. I will make it an agonizing, tedious part of my game-watching experience to go through the video and this meta video of a man watching video. But if we're going to do all this, if we're going to go through this elaborate dance of legalism and video interpretation, and you can't miss a pass interference helmet to helmet like that. You can't be both things. If you don't do the replay, there's human error, and you say, yeah, you know what? It's football. People hit each other. We get some wrong, we get some right. You're going to miss some. But the fact is that we buy in to this process, and then that happens.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Bernstein and McKnight will bring you Matt Miller in his cups in Mobile, where he's in his happy, happy place. Don't throw him in that briar patch. Matt Miller at 10. We'll talk football with us. Richard Deitch at 10:40. Sports and media stuff with one of the smartest guys we talked to. Midday Midway at 11. Danny LaRue on the NBA at 11:40. And man, do we have giveaways today. Not only do we have 3 chances at $1,000.
There's more.
We have a pair of tickets to see The Who.
Oh, yeah.
May 21st at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. And before you get confused, that's in Tinley Park.
Well, that makes sense.
The Hollywood Casino.
It's The Who, after all.
It's The Who. That is the major music venue in Tinley Park, now known as the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater.
Good to know.
So it's I have seen The Who.
I have not seen The Who.
I saw them in, it was 89 or 90, at Alpine Valley.
Oh.
And we just get out of the parking lot. We were like a week ago. We just get out of the parking lot.
I was just going to say.
That's how long it took
concerts
the parking
there
lot.
Concerts have a reputation, both for those who attend and the bands that are there.
Yeah, it was. Well, sometimes you'd get out of the helicopter and die, right?
I mean.
Wasn't it leaving out? Is that Stevie Ray Vaughan?
Was that there?
Wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I think you're absolutely right.
Somebody else was on the helicopter. Was it like the Big Bopper and Buddy Holly? Or
yes,
am I getting
that
confused?
Was it. Yes. Mm-hmm. No, that was the same crash.
Richie
no,
Valens.
You got it. Nailed it.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
And Elvis. That's what all.
And Elvis.
Nailed it.
312-644-6767 is our number at WSCR. The Score. You email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We're streaming 670thescore.com. You want to send a text. You want to, on purpose or accidentally, send a sext. We're there for that, too, at 67011. When you send something, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
It is COD!
Download it.
It is COD. The kick is COD. I thought I heard that.
I can't.
And indeed I did.
Oh, man. I thought you were wrong. I thought you were off your rocker. And
here's
there you
the
were,
snap. The
firmly planted
made
on the rocker.
He swings his foot, and the kick is up, headed toward the uprights.
It is COD!
And it's COD. It happens sometimes with the ball.
Tasty, tasty kick.
It turns into a lovely, flaky, white, friable fish. If you download the radio.com app, you can stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. You can watch us on these cameras.
Hi.
It's our video feed.
Hello.
Directed by Brian Gertsch at watch670thescore.com and at Facebook Live. We have producers. It's Jay Zawoski.
Picked up by Thompson, and he hits the three.
Now here's Thompson from the other side,
and he hits the three.
Thompson hits the three.
Thompson fires and hits.
Here's Thompson, the three.
Oh, he is on fire.
The three, yes! Klay Thompson is 7 for 7.
Once again, Klay Thompson.
Here's Thompson open for three. Yes, and Thompson again. He is 10 for 10 from three-point range.
It is
have a day.
So stupid.
Have a day.
Played 27 Clay. Minutes. Played 27 minutes and put up 44 points.
Eight dribbles.
Meanwhile, eight dribbles. That's a really high number.
Do
him.
They have...
Really? That's disappointing.
In all,
what a horrible game. What a horrible game for him. Eight dribbles to get 44 points?
In all truth, in all seriousness, do they have, wherever you rank the best shooters in the history of the game, do they have three of them on the court at the same time? I mean, we talk about Reggie Miller and Ray Allen and anybody else.
Three of them. You want to go top five? We're going to do top eight, top 10?
Two is a given.
Yeah.
They definitely, for sure.
Oh, my God. Wait,
is it fair to say they definitely have three of the top 10 shooters who've ever lived on the court at the same time?
I think it's fair.
Okay.
I think that's absolutely fair.
That's something we'll talk to Danny LaRue about later.
Even if it were three of the top 15.
Right.
Double it. It's three of the top 20.
Right.
What the hell?
Right. What the hell?
And now that Draymond and Kevin have made up, my God, they've shared a glass of wine. There was a hotel lobby, a conversation. Oh, my goodness. This was a meeting of the minds. This is a summit is what it was. Thank God that they've made up and moved on.
What was the play about? Was it a walk in the woods that there was some play about two world leaders?
Sounds right.
Is that right?
Yeah, maybe.
That's what it sounds like to me, is that this was some version of a walk in the
some
woods.
Some sort of overwrought
right?
description of two guys going, hey, it's good now.
All right, well, the Super Bowl is coming up. We're noticing some interesting trends right now. I forgot about the guy on the board and the guy in the back. I shouldn't do that. Rick Camp.
If you were the referee of that game and you didn't realize you had a problem on your hands and that is your honest statement, you should be fired. You should never have another jersey, whether you exchange them with players before the game, which should be an outrageous thing to begin with. No way should an official be exchanging jerseys with a player before a game. That's such a bad thing to do. Number one. Number two, they have to stay distant from the players.
Okay, that's Mike Francesa not realizing that the viral picture of a referee exchanging jerseys with Todd Gurley was a photoshopped bit.
Dateline, New York, old white man falls for internet hoax.
Right, this is like when Pierre Salinger they found the TWA bombers or whatever it was. Remember that? They're like, oh no, he calls a press conference to say that there's been some major breakthrough and it was just this old made up document that had been making the rounds.
I need a caller to call the show and say, Mike, have you ever heard of Photoshop? No, what is it? Never heard of it. Photoshop?
I don't know, photo booth. There was a photo mat.
And I love that his producers just let him slowly roll the car off the pier.
Yeah, like how?
Don't care.
I mean, is there any heads up that he's going to say
Germans bomb Pearl
like
Harbor? Let it go, man. He's on a roll.
I mean, that was somebody go, hey, Mike, no.
Mike!
It's not real. Not real. No, not real. In the back doing what he does, the Mexicutioner, Ray Diaz.
You know, the importance of today with Martin Luther King, with the NBA celebrating his birthday and his life and his legacy. Any thoughts about, you know, the impact he had?
Well, what always stands out to me about this day and about Dr. King is his courage. His courage to make a stand. And I love that. I love that part of it. I just think there's such a message in there of fighting for what you believe in, fighting for what is right, and fighting for injustice and inequality. And you know, I just so thankful for today and thankful for him.
Well spoken.
Ah, yes.
Fighting against injustice and inequality.
Yeah.
For them.
Or you're fighting for justice and equality. Fighting against injustice and against inequality. However you want to do the negative in this math problem. Or for
fighting for injustice and inequality.
I have a friend who will consistently say, you know, like charity efforts. And, this charity is for cancer.
Coaches raising money for cancer. Right.
No, they're to fight cancer right. or for cancer research. No
well
one
spoken.
Wants to give money to a horrifying disease.
That, I thought I heard it right. And then the notes, the emails, and everything started pouring. scoring. And that, ladies and gentlemen, your Bulls head coach on Martin Luther King Day, applauding the late Dr. King.
It's at least we all knew what he meant.
Fighting for injustice and inequality.
Well spoken.
We knew what he meant. We knew what he meant. Not raising money for cancer. It explains his, for cancer research.
His offensive and defensive strategies, too.
He found a way to be worse than the game.
I mean, that, well, that's a judgment call there. Well spoken, Rick. But, oh.
That was
not
atrocious.
That was not basketball.
Well spoken.
How many empty possessions back and forth?
I don't know what it
was. And then back and forth again. And then back and forth.
It wasn't basketball. I know that. But.
Yikes.
That explains,
did that more tarnish his legacy than anything else, that game was allowed to be played on Martin Luther King Day?
Yeah, that's an insult.
It's not helpful.
No, it doesn't help anybody to be exposed to that. Now, that game's toxic. That really is just awful. I just saw something cross that I think is telling here, an eyebrow raiser. It comes just after I was reading a story in the Wall Street Journal by Jason Gay, who believes that, in his words, is going to cast a shadow on the Super Bowl. Says nobody in Los Angeles or New England is going to care about the Super Bowl. Saying following the missed penalty and a slew of questionable ones in the other game, the Patriots and Rams are going to meet for the first time in the Super Bowl. Tantalizing matchup for the teams themselves. But he doesn't believe that anybody is going to care outside of New England and Los Angeles, in large part because of how it went down. I thought it was a great day of sports, but apparently he believes otherwise.
There's 2 full weeks before the Super Bowl. There's a whole bunch of 9-hour news cycles in which we'll forget what the hell happened and moved on and enjoy our favorite experience every February.
According to Ticket IQ, Super Bowl ticket prices are down 12% since Sunday.
Down 12% from last year?
No, down 12% since Sunday.
Oh, my God.
Quality of tickets available on the secondary market is at a 3-year high with over 3,000 tickets for sale. Low price guarantees from $2,600 as far as the cheapest secondary market listings.
I don't know. I'm willing to wait to see whether that's a referendum on this particular game or this particular matchup and how we got there, as opposed to how we watch football now. I mean, have you been to a Super Bowl as a fan?
Have I been to a Super Bowl as a fan? Yeah, no, I mean, I've been there as a reporter.
Right. Of course, obviously as a reporter. I mean, I just don't know how many families are setting aside anymore the week to go to a Super Bowl without the guarantee of their team playing
because
in it.
Attending a Super Bowl sucks.
It's not like a Disney World trip or anything like that.
Attending a Super Bowl sucks. It's interminable. You can't see any of the commercials. It's a television product, and when you go to a Super Bowl, you are sitting in a giant TV studio, and you forget the game is going to take. It's awful.
One of the things I've loved about our team is whether we feel like a call works in our favor or against it, they just keep competing, eyes up, next play mindset and mentality. You could see, I'm not going to shy away from the fact I did think it was a bang bang play after the game. But when you slow it down, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say there clearly wasn't a little bit of contact before the play or before that ball actually arrived. But whether he catches it or not, there's a lot of things that go into that. But that one did work in our favor, but there was a couple instances where it didn't, and we can't control those things.
Come on, Sean McVay. Come on.
I don't know that there's been an up-and-coming coach. I'm so frustrated I can't turn the damn mic on. I don't know that there's been an up-and-coming coach with credentials like Sean McVay that I've gone back and forth on so quickly. I'm willing to give him credit for getting the offense together and Jared Goff and all that noise and figuring out a way to win. And I'm up here. I get back with him, and then he says stuff like that. Like, oh, there was a little bit of contact. A little bit of contact, Sean.
Come on.
Let's just be honest here. On. That should have been a flag. And if you want to do that dance and then say, oh, but we should have gotten a flag against Jared for the face mask, it didn't happen. That's fine too. Those are true things. But don't coach speak your way out. This guy has so much fluffed up crap all over him. It's just so damn frustrating for me to watch this Rams team and the credit and the plaudits they get thrown at this thing. It's most of them are deserved. That's the worst part. I look at that team and I go, yes, It's incredible what they've done, and the turnaround is fantastic, and the football mind he's got is great. But then we just so quickly fawn over the fact that he can list 11 of the 12 top defenders for the Bears and give three-word descriptions on each one. So we're good. And then we're going to – now, have you seen the viral video that's going around with Sean McVay's get-back coach, his own personal get-back coach? It's nonsense. He's hired a bodybuilder, a strength and conditioning coach.
To shove him.
To move him around by the hips so that he doesn't have to look around for his own damn surroundings. I keep going back and forth on this brilliant, brilliant football mind, and I don't think it's because I'm jealous that he's 6 months younger than I am.
But
I don't think it's that. I don't think I'm that petty. I could be.
When you have the power and the awareness to hire a coach to control you like that, I mean, think about the number of coaches you could hire to do things in your own life. Like, if I could hire a coach who could, after 15 years of living in this house, tell me which of the toggle switches turn on which lights.
That'd be helpful for you.
That'd be helpful.
You need a guy who can, while we're on the show, be at the back baking rack at Mariano's, just kind of looking over potential offerings for your adopt-a-pastry.
Yeah, waiting to see when the mini apple fritter box comes out there and if there's something adoptable. Or I could have a coach when I'm cooking, busy moving pots and pans around, to remind me that when you reach into the oven to grab the pan of chicken Vesuvio that you have an oven mitt on. I could.
Yeah, you're supposed to have an oven mitt.
I learned that.
What do you mean you learned that?
I learned that.
Oh yeah, that's a mistake you don't make twice.
Oh, but it is though, because sometimes you open it's like, okay, this, and you get this at this hand, and you're going over here, and you had like the dish towel in your hand, but the dish towel was over your shoulder, so you didn't wrap your hand with it, and then you're like, okay, that's going to be bad. And you hear this, the sizzle of your own hand,
smell it.
Yeah,
you don't want that.
Cook that.
I don't understand this, Connor. Right. Patiently waiting for your point. This text from the 773. How have you missed the point? I think Sean McVay is kind of an insufferable debag.
He is a debag.
I'm frustrated by him and his football genius and the fact that he really deserves a lot of credit for where he's at and where he's brought football. But he's kind of an insufferable debag.
Wait,
and
did
I'm
you
worried
just
about
coin
the
that?
Way. What?
I've heard debag.
Yeah, debag. Like D'Artagnan, or like with the apostrophe, or something like that.
Did you just coin that? Like Travis Darnot?
I feel like we've used it before.
No, we've used like apostrophe bag and D-bag and Deutsche Bank in the Terry Bohr's Germanization of it.
This is the best.
I've never heard D-bag before.
I feel like my brother and I have kicked that around for a little while. I don't want to be the guy who just, you know, plants a flag and says anything like that. But
you somehow made that term sound kind of pretentious.
D-bag?
That's the point.
That's the point.
I like it.
That's the point of what Sean McVay's doing to me. He just, every time, it's back and forth. This is just incredible. Needle.
Are you sure it's not younger than you and the model who's his girlfriend?
I don't think that it's a petty jealousy, but I can't say I'm above that.
Okay. How do we feel about all these Bears in the Pro Bowl? It's kind of ridiculous.
We're 18 hours from Taquan Mizell and Kevin White being named Pro Bowlers. That's what the Pro Bowl is. Do you have any idea how many alternates get named to this thing? All of them.
I know.
If you're on the alternate list, you will attend the Pro Bowl. You will play in the Pro Bowl.
Taquan Mizell. That was an awesome use of Taquan Mizell also, who is not a D-bag.
No, I would never say that
it's
about
the first proper use of Taquan Mizell this year.
Ahoy! Bazinga! Nate and Elgin, you're on the score.
Hi, I think that the bag is one of the newest and best things.
Isn't it great?
We'll see what happens.
I think that's got to stay... But I actually called about, I think the league absolutely has to go to these booth officials, because some of these bad calls and changing the outcomes and possibly changing the outcomes of the games, not only can they go back and see what the naked eye can't see, they can pick up bad flags. And not only that, when there's a scuffle, how many times have we seen the second guy that in a pushing match gets the penalty? When a booth official can see all of that and go back and say, well, no, you know, call it how it is. But, it's got to stop changing the outcomes of the game.
But, Nate, I mean, like, I don't... I don't disagree with your want to get the call right, with the desire to have things go correctly, but are you willing to wait for that? I mean, football is it's a source of your entertainment. Like, do you really want to sit there and wait for that?
I don't. I think there's a way you can make it work. You can get it right, and you can have and put it on the coaches. And then maybe
that's different. That's then, different from like eye in the sky and
in the last 2 minutes
party.
I'm open to a little bit of both. I'm open to some kind of amalgamation where you can, in the last 2 minutes of the game, a face mask, a PI, that all this stuff becomes reviewable.
Well, that's just radical. Some sort of rational approach to blending one thing with the other. Yeah, some sort of compromise between two parties.
Make it both work.
You are ludicrous, Dan. I can't.
Or
how dare you, sir?
In the words of Jim Tomsula, ludicrous. That's different. All right. So, what do you make of this? How should you feel as a Bears fan that your entire team is going to the Pro Bowl? What it means is they're right in that perfect slot, right? Of really good, but not playing.
If they had gone one more week, if Parkey hits the kick and then they get bounced by the Rams, or they don't make it against the Saints, or whatever, you're still at the spot. Right? I'm checking this math, right? You're still at the spot where Leno and Cody Whitehair and Taquan Mizell and Kevin White eventually all make the Pro Bowl, right? We're still at that place. Even if you lose, even if you win against the Eagles and lose the next one, are you still there? Or do those alternates go to other teams, other players?
I think you're probably still there.
I think you're probably still there. So, you know, right? Just checking the process here. That doesn't mean that you should or shouldn't have won that game any more or less than you should or shouldn't have already. It just, you're in that spot. You knew it when all the alternates were done. It's why we went with, when the list came out and all those alternates, the Bears alternates were announced, we had Hub like 45 minutes after the list was there.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned the same thing. All these guys, all these alternates, they're all going to have a chance to play because everybody pulls out of the Pro Bowl if you've got a nick or a bruise.
I know, but it's still that. Remember that year the Bears sent 8 guys to the Pro Bowl? Yeah, they lost in the wild card round because the guy kicked it off the upright again.
But that helps, right? Doesn't that context help?
It does, but it's almost like they're rubbing your nose in it. You know what I mean?
I'm not saying that it helps.
As a fan, every time they name another Pro Bowler, it's a reminder you're not playing, and it was this really good year where you could have won the Super Bowl.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
I think in that way, I'm not saying it massages the season at all for you. It shouldn't.
No, it's scratching the scab.
Not for a fan. Yes, it is. And that's, listen, whether it's Andy Reid after his squad lost or after Matt Nagy and his squad lost, they mentioned that's that chip, that hurt, that pain, that's something that they're all going to coach to for the next year.
Matt Miller is at the Senior Bowl. He's a very, very happy man this time of year. He's busy. He's happy. He's occasionally drunk. And we're going to talk to him at 10 o'clock for the Bernstein and McKnight Show. You have the score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
We are the Bernstein and McKnight Show. We are on middays from 9 a.m. to 1 right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. On these cold days, we offer you a warm sports place.
Have you seen the petition that's been going around from some Saints fans, some Saints players, and some enraged Saints radio minds and voices?
A petition? No, I did see the possibility that there was going to be some sort of lawsuit on the part of legal gamblers.
No, I hadn't seen that.
There was some it'll get tossed, but it was
of course it's
going to be tossed. It was this idea that somehow that because the legalization of gambling is creating a different kind of legal standing for people who believe they have been screwed over by the private business that is the NFL.
Well, they were definitely screwed over, but it was by 3 referees that wanted to swallow the whistle and didn't have the stones to make the call they're supposed to in a playoff game, and it's not the first time that's happened. It's kind of part of sports as much as it sucks for some. No, this was getting kicked around in Nolens a little bit, and then Mike Florio picked it up as well. Michael Thomas, the Saints wide receiver, has put it out on Instagram, and they're bringing up Rule 17, Section 2, Articles 1 and 3 of the NFL rulebook. They read, "The commissioner has the sole authority to investigate and take appropriate disciplinary or corrective measures if any club action, non-participant interference, or calamity occurs in an NFL game which he deems so extraordinarily unfair or outside the accepted tactics encountered in professional football that such action has a major effect on the result of the game. That's Article 1. Article 2 states that the commissioner's powers under this section include the imposition of monetary fines and draft choice forfeitures, suspension of persons involved in unfair acts, and if appropriate, the reversal of a game's result or the rescheduling of a game, either from the beginning or from the point at which the extraordinary act occurred. Obviously, that's not happening.
And that is directly enumerated in the powers of the commission.
Rule 17, Section 2, Articles 1 and 3. It's been kicked around a little bit. And It popped up in the timeline. Adam Schefter had one of them, too. It's not happening. The NFL is not going to do anything to disrupt the cash cow. It's just not. If they would have to move a Super Bowl, they would have to reschedule. That's just not going to happen. I find it interesting, though, that it exists in the rule book at all or within the powers of the commissioner's job. That's bizarre to me.
It's sort of like the best interest of the game clause.
It's a lot like that
of the baseball commissioner, but that's even more specific.
Well, it's interesting because
that's
deus
ex machina. He can, very much so. He can appear and change the course of the drama.
And I don't know if the invocation of those powers would have to come with some sort of agreement from ownership groups.
National emergency.
Maybe you could just invoke a national emergency. You could just declare bankruptcy and then you're good to go. I don't know how that necessarily flows through the commissioner's office, but if he goes to do this, right? Let's just play the hypothetical out a little bit because I find it fascinating. If he goes to reverse or reschedule the game, right?
Yeah.
Where do you pick it up from?
Before the face mask call.
I think that's where you have to start it. Because I think that's my issue.
Because here's our slippery slope,
right? Going back and through each and every call on the field with some sort of eye in the sky referee that gets to buzz the beeper of whatever field official is down there and tell him nope, we got to look at that or nope, pick up that flag or that's got to be a flag or that hits illegal or that's a helmet to helmet. All this nonsense. Because if the commissioner were to go and I'm from a purely hypothetical standpoint, if he were to go back and do this. You can't pick it up from that interference call.
And how many other
games? You've
got
every right to go back to any spot you want, any missed call you want, any hold you want here.
It's a restore point,
you want
right?
There.
You got a restore point.
It's like you got to turn off autosave on Red Dead Redemption and go fix the mission that you screwed up over and over again because for some reason you couldn't get onto the damn wagon. That's a little inside. I've been playing a lot of it. There's many, many people playing this game. It's a very popular thing. I know you don't play video games, but for those of us who do, is it a thing?
Yeah. What was the game that we used to play on the Atari 800? And if you remember the Atari 800, you're a member of a pretty special club.
Was that in color or was that not?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It was in color.
Was Pitfall on that?
Atari 800 was an actual keyboard computer.
Oh, not the one with the joystick.
No, that was Atari 2600.
Okay, that was the oldest video game system.
The Atari 800 was an actual hard keyboard computer.
No kidding.
With a floppy disk drive.
Oh, yeah. I remember those.
A big, not the little floppy disk.
No, the big guys.
The big, yeah. Actual, mm-hmm. Like the size of a 45 square. And it would go, it would boot it up.
Force
Gump. That's what it's seriously, it would make these, and you knew that somebody was playing, one of these games. And if you could, it had a door on the front.
Oh, yeah. You had the door and the lock thing.
And there were certain games that you were playing, like some of these adventure games that you played, that if you popped the door, literally popped the door open, and the disc would come out, you could keep the game. Like, if you knew you were about to die, you could snap the thing open, and then it would restore the game to before you die.
That is the earliest version of rage quitting that was ever invented.
No, it's not.
It's a little rage quitty.
Well, kind of, but you were doing was saving the game. You're like, oh, no! And you would be able to, you would have...
More of a panic than a frustration.
Right, but what you had was had your personal get-back coach. You would have a friend. I would do it for my cousin Adam when he was playing, and I would be in charge of, like, snapping the door to the disk drive open so we can start again.
So lame and so awesome, but all at the same time.
So that was something. So that's the part of it is being able to find those reset points. And I understand exactly what you're saying. About how that opens it up.
Because it annoys the hell out of me that we're going to all of a sudden. It's an egregious call. It should have been made. It is an affront that they let that go. But that's part of sports, and you cannot, in a game like football, with the subjectivity assigned to that rule specifically as it exists, do it every single time.
It can still be better. It's not all or nothing.
I'm not disagreeing that it can't be better.
Yeah, I don't. This petition will fail. You're not going to get the commissioner to invoke his powers to change time and space.
It's more of a Occupy Wall Street or early Tea Party movement right now. It's just kind of grassroots. It's not anything official that's been signed up and put down.
Roger Goodell is taking away our freedoms.
Trying. I think very slowly trying.
We have giveaways today, a lot of them. Three chances to win $1,000. We got a pair of tickets to see The Who on May 21st at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. And coming up next, we've got Matt Miller as players are weighing in. We're getting hand sizes.
How big is Kyler Murray?
Kyler Murray, not big. And the other guy who's teeny weeny?
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you, there's one guy who's like hilariously small.
Okay.
And people will love him when he is in the NFL, regardless of the fact that he's hilariously small. So we're going to talk about Senior Bowl and potential draft picks and Super Bowl matchups and all that with Matt Miller. So keep it here. You have The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.